Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Greta, it's our home away from home for Afterburner. We'll be there for live watch parties throughout the season. Should be your spot regardless, before, during, and after the game. Grab a cocktail, something from the menu, let the games begin, or maybe you get into the game yourself. Over 50 arcade games from vintage to state-of-the-art. Load up some credits on that Greta game card of yours and get at it. Greta Calgary, located at 213 10th Avenue Southwest. Check them out online, gretabar.com.
It's nearly the best time of the year. Playoff hockey is around the corner, and I'll tell you what, the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino is the place to be. Cheer on your favorite teams with us at the Stage Bar. Enjoy the big game, one of those huge screens over the bar with friends, drinks, and delicious food. Let's go visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. Now, while I've got your attention, let me tell you about the happy hour at the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino. Let's make the most of the day and spend your afternoons with great drinks and food. Join us at the Stage Bar and Blaze Bar and Grill for our new happy hour every day, 2 till 5. Enjoy food, drinks, all starting at $5. Make the most of your days. Visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. If you're thinking of buying or selling your home in the Calgary area, there's one guy you've got to talk to. That's Derek Newman of the Derek Newman Real Estate Group with CIR Realty. Buying or selling doesn't really matter. Derek does it all. He's a volunteer in the community, active in sports around the city, whether it's golf, curling, huge Flames fan. So talking sports or talking about the real estate market, definitely give him a shout. He's approachable, trustworthy, and hardworking. Also, Derek's got a pretty vast network. He's even got access to some homes often that aren't even on the market yet. And you can ask him about his complimentary home staging consultation as well. Buying or selling, call him or text him right now at 403-619-6661. Derek will make it easy for you. Get Derek and his network to work for you. That's Derek Newman. Email him at dnewman@cirrealty.ca. More post-game reaction right here. We're back on Afterburner.
Well, it is 11:17 p.m. We're not going to keep you waiting. This is Afterburner after a 3-2 Calgary Flames overtime victory over the San Jose Sharks. A game that started at 8:30 p.m. local time. Ends up going to overtime after the Calgary Flames come from behind and force the extra frame. And ultimately, it is Andre Kuzmenko staying hot. He had a goal and an assist tonight. His 18th goal of the year gives the Flames the victory. And I'm Mike Gould, joined by Kent Wilson. And first of all, Kent, on this Afterburner show, we have talked in the past before about what the Flames need in the grand scheme of things, in the macro sense. 2 points tonight might not have been it, but in any event, they get the 2 points. Some good storylines tonight. Just your overall takeaways from a strange game in San Jose.
Well, it's the first game in recent memory where the Flames are definitely the better team through most of the evening, that's for sure. Which isn't to say they haven't been competitive, relatively speaking, the last little while. But they, you know, objectively, they deserve the 2 points tonight.
It was a game which saw the Calgary Flames fall behind by a 2-0 score early on. Jacob McDonald making it a 2-0 game. That was the last goal that the Sharks would score, though, as the Flames end up getting back-to-back goals to make it a tie game. Goals from Rasmus Anderson and Nazem Kadri. in the second period. They, I think, hold the Sharks to one or two shots in the third period, three shots, 13-3 in the final frame. And then in overtime, both teams have power plays. And at the end of the day, it's the Flames capping it off. Andre Kuzmenko getting the game-winning goal. And, you know, in a season where I think standout players have been few and far between for this Calgary Flames team, Andre Kuzmenko has to be considered one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty pleasant throw-in for that Lindholm trade, especially given the way Lindholm himself has performed. Obviously, it sounds like he's been hampered by injury, but, Kuzmenko as the cap sort of dump in the trade, it looks like, you know, he's going to put together a pretty solid season. He's become one of the Flames' most dangerous players, and we'll see if they can flip him next year for a return.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've discussed it on various shows, various hosts have, what the future is with Andre Kuzmenko. Everybody knows he's got a $5.5 million cap hit. He's a free agent after next season. He's not the most spry guy. He's not young. He's not even quasi-young like a guy like Yegor Sharangovich is. He's getting close to 30 years old. He's a guy who personally I would look at, you know, if Dan Milstein wants to at all engage, if he wants to say, well, we like the fit, we wouldn't be opposed to a 1 or 2 year deal to try and build up a little bit of a repertoire, I wouldn't have any opposition to that. But I think if you're looking at giving a guy a retirement contract at this point of the rebuild, that just won't fly.
Right. Yeah. It's the most responsible thing to do for the Flames, if you're Craig Conroy, is to shop Kuzmenko next year and then judge what the return could be. And then, yeah, maybe we should keep him for a year or two because nobody's offering us anything. But if he keeps playing like this, I'd be stunned if people don't come around at the trade deadline looking for a little bit of pop.
It was a game in which Mackenzie Blackwood was very good for the San Jose Sharks. In the early goings of the game, he makes a nice save on a 2-on-0 with Nazem Kadri and Kuzmenko that could have very easily given Kuzmenko another point. Kuzmenko does get an assist on the goal by Kadri that ties the game on the power play, with Yegor Sharangovich getting the other helper on that particular play. Guy I want to talk to you about, though, is Jonathan Huberdeau, because I was looking at some numbers. This guy is so strange. I mean, you look at some of the relative numbers, profiling not that differently from his time in Florida, but one thing that I noticed very different is he does not shoot the puck anymore. And we know that that Jonathan Huberdeau has always been billed as a playmaking type of player, but you look at the shot rates with this guy and the expected goals and all that on ice, they're not much different, but individually, he is down from taking around from about 8 shots per 60 minutes at the end of his time in Florida to a little over 5 here in Calgary, which doesn't really compute to me, because if I look at Jonathan Huberdeau, he's a big, strong guy who actually has a pretty good shot. It's just a matter of he doesn't use it. Tonight, I thought he did use it pretty well. He hit a goal post. He had some good opportunities. What did you make of Huberdeau? Because I know talking to you during the game, there were times where you weren't really convinced on what you were seeing.
No, I haven't loved Huberdeau recently. He had a bit of a, let's say, a mini renaissance there when the calendar flipped for a couple of months. But he's been sort of back and up and down recently a lot. There's a lot of him at his worst the last few games where, you know, he's not making plays very much. He's losing puck battles and puck races all too often. You know, plays are dying on his stick a little bit too much, which you really don't want to see out of a $10.5 million veteran. But yeah, he's always kind of struggled to play whatever it was, whatever style of game he could play in Florida that got him to that 100-point plateau, right? It's just never clicked here. And I think the lack of shots is just another symptom of that.
Like when I see a player whose shots on goal go down that to that extent, it reminds me of in baseball when a pitcher's velocity goes down 5 miles an hour. It's just that little tell. And you look at Huberdeau over the last two seasons, you look at his final year in Florida, he had 222 shots on goal in 80 games, which is pretty good. That's, I mean, a little under 3 shots a game. The last 2 years, he's at 126 each year. I mean, it is a staggering decline, and that is a little over, 40%. You know, it's about 1.4 shots per, it is so low especially for a player who is capable of scoring 30 goals in an NHL season. Like, that's the thing with Gaudreau that always kind of drove me nuts, is when he was on his cold streaks, you watched him shoot the puck and you were like, how does this guy ever beat a goaltender with his shot? Huberdeau doesn't really give me that. You know, when he shoots the puck, like we saw in that 2-on-1, he can really fire it, but I don't know what it is, whether it's a confidence thing or the way that he's being coached. It just hasn't been working. Now, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, yes, he ends up getting the primary assist on Andrei Kuzmenko's overtime winner. So, you know, you can take the positives where they come. It is something where the underlyings are so similar that I just don't know. I mean, he had a similar type of lull to a certain extent, although not quite as dramatic, in the 2 years actually before his 115-point season in Florida. This is quite a bit lower, but there's still something in me that thinks if they can get the right guys around him, maybe there's a chance that eventually he turns into a player who can resuscitate his value just a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what you think.
I think that ship has sailed, honestly, because the thing with the organization now is that's no longer the goal. That doesn't really make sense to, we got to get guys around, 31-year-old Huberdeau and hope that he can become a 100-point player again. I mean, that's probably a lost cause. Not saying that it can't happen or won't happen, but the object of this team is to find a new 100-point player who's going to be 20 years old and 28 years old at his peak for this team. So yeah, I'm not sure it'll ever happen here, because it's just not the path that this organization is on anymore.
Who knows? Maybe they make these picks, and by the time Huberdeau's 36, he's still chugging around, and they can pump and dump him somehow. Who knows? But it's just, it is one of the most startling. It is one of the most startling turns of events, I would say, in recent NHL history, the way that Huberdeau has performed in Calgary. The guy who has not really seen that same drop off, especially this season, is Nazem Kadri, who I thought was excellent today.
He's been better,
I think he's been really good this season, just by and large. This is a guy who, in terms of the way that he's aging, reminds me a little bit of a guy like Joe Pavelski. He's not quite as old, but he's really just finding a way to prolong his career in very different ways. He's been very effective this season. It is something where I think it's maybe a little bit premature to say that the Flames are going to look at moving him, but he scores a big goal tonight. He's up to 26 on the season. I mean, I think based on the way that this season has gone, you can complain about a lot of things, but I don't think Kadri is really one of them.
Yeah, and the thing with him is he was a bit of a question mark coming into this season.
Honestly, huge.
He had, a good half of the year last year, and then you can see him get frustrated with many of the other players, obviously, and then he was clearly done by the last quarter of the season. Everyone remembers that game he had against Chicago and that horrendous shift, but that was just something that was quite indicative of his play over that section of games. So I wasn't sure if he'd come back and resume that sort of lackadaisical play, but no, he's been all in this year, and I think he's flirting with 70 points, which is quite the feat on this roster. And he joined Pospisil and Zeri, and that was a great line for those two kids, so, and it helped them get a foothold in the NHL. So he's been a good player this year for sure. And we'll see if they want to keep him around as one of those bridge guys who can, a veteran glue guy over the next few years, as he's still obviously very competent and capable, or will they be able to maybe flip him down the road? It might depend on what the player himself wants to do.
Yeah, I think they're in a position where if that ends up coming to fruition, they could do very well in a Nazem Kadri trade. And I think he is done a very good job of maintaining his value. It's just a matter, as you said, of what the player wants to do and what the Flames end up wanting to do. You can say with Kadri and with Yegor Sharangovich is getting close to 60 points on the season too. I mean, that's not a small feat with this roster, especially when you consider Huberdeau is going to struggle to reach 50 this year. So that's really something to behold. Last topic I want to just touch upon before we get to the highlight of the night. The Flames have amassed quite the glut of defensemen, and we've talked a little bit before about Daniil Marimanov, who I think has acquitted himself very well. One of their depth defensemen was playing against his former team tonight. That was Nikita Ochotiuk, who picked up an assist on the first goal scored by Rasmus Anderson. Bit of a rough look, though, on the first San Jose goal. Not sure if Jack has that one, but I think that one is maybe a bit overwhelmingly reflective of his performance since being acquired from this Sharks team.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. Really look at this read
right off, but it's a read right here where he's swimming in no man's land, and it turns into a 2-on-1. It's just like, holy cow, what are you doing? Yeah, I said last time I was on this show, I've been really unimpressed with that player so far. And it's, you know, young kid, new team, kind of. He's obviously been thrown in way over his head. He's playing with Anderson in the top four in this game, so that's not his thing. He is a seventh defenseman right now, so I think he's just swimming a bit. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan so far.
He has struggled. Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about that. I think Miramanov has done a good job. I think generally speaking, the veterans have done a good job. I mean, Uyghur's flirting with 20 goals. He might get there in the final five games of the season. But you're starting to sort through some of the flotsam at the bottom of the roster and seeing what you have. And part of the exercise of seeing what you have, which has sort of been the MO of this team under Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska, is sometimes you see that what you have isn't good enough. And in some of the cases this year, and I think Ochocek early returns sort of fall into that category for me, at least for now. We'll see how that progresses. For now, we're going to move on to our highlight of the night, which is brought to you by Betway. We will take it to the SAP Center, as it was none other than Dustin Wolf getting our highlight of the night tonight. I think Jack has that one ready. It was a fantastic stop. There it is. That's a great save by Dustin Wolf playing against his hometown team. He hails from not far from the San Jose area. I was in Stockton a couple of years ago when the Flames farm team was still there. And of course, he's not far from there in terms of where he grew up. He's from Gilroy. I drove from Stockton to LA to see the Flames play against the Kings. I drove right through Gilroy, and that was pretty early on in the trip. And Dustin Wolf playing in front of his family tonight did very well. Made it, I think, 21 saves. And that one was his best of the night.
Yeah, and the team in front of him helped him this time. I mean, his last start against the Jets, I think there was almost 6 expected goals against that night, 40-plus shots. He just absolutely peppered. And they've had a few stinkers in front of him this year. But, yeah, the team played well, and he played well enough to win, too.
Dustin Wolf, a good story tonight. Yes, indeed. He made 20 saves on 22 shots. That's a pretty solid save percentage. I think a 909 off the top of my head. And he improves. He gets one more win under his belt. I think that was his first career road win against the team, in fact, against which he got his first NHL win at the end of last season. So cool to see Dustin Wolf picking that up. He's a star goaltending prospect, and it hasn't come as easy to him in the NHL, maybe as some people would have expected. But this is a guy who, when he gets on his roll, when he gets on his groove, he is as good a goaltender, as talented a goaltender, especially laterally, as anyone I have seen live, except for a very select few guys. And that's, I mean, he has some other flaws in his game, but when you get him moving side to side, he can do some masterful things. And that was a nice lateral save right there. So that is our Betway highlight of the night. Get the Betway app on your phone. Bet the responsible way with Betway. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create a new account, scan the QR code on the screen, and redeem your bonus. Place a bet, no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. But be warned, this offer is only valid outside of Ontario. So go to Betway now. Put a couple bucks on Dustin Wolf pitching a shutout in his next game. Why not? That'll be a fun one. Kent and I are going to take a quick break. We're not going to take too long on tonight's edition of Afterburner. We're just past 11:30 p.m. local time, so stick around. Be back after this for more Afterburner after the Flames defeat the Sharks.
We are well into the winter months now, and you can feel it, can't you? That urge to get away. Maybe some beach time to warm up those bones of yours. Maybe a hockey sports kind of road trip. Well, when you pack your bags, make sure you don't forget Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sharing memories, and that's making new ones. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more wherever travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information. Alberta Blue Cross, celebrating life's memorable moments inspired by hockey.
Hey guys, it's Pinder chatting about Charm Diamond Centers. Did you know that Charm's been Canadian owned and operated since 1972? And there's over 85 locations coast to coast to coast with Charm and their sister brands. Get this now. You want to get something custom made? How about custom ring building delivered in less than 4 weeks? That's unreal. That is the Charm Masterpiece Program, and they've got unbeatable pricing policies as well. Whether it's mine diamonds or Canadian lab-grown diamonds, check them out. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. That's charmdiamondcenters.com.
All right, gang, listen up. It's time to learn the pro pose. Coach?
Bend and snap.
Beautiful form. Nice arm extension. Facial expression, I could use some work. All right, let's see it. The pro pose. What's that guy doing?
I think that's the bend and snap.
That's a whole different deal.
Charm, home of the pro pose.
Oh! The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. But there's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know you're heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon Pull Apart and a small coffee. It's a great choice. Sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Let's get back to the hockey talk. Afterburner returns.
Back here on Afterburner, taking a look at the chat right now. Love this. Gilroy, California, Eric Hansen says, is the garlic capital of the U.S. and is the home of Calgary Stampeders great Jeff Garcia. So there's some information about Gilroy, California, also the home of Dustin Wolf. And I love this from Greg M., also a dirty but quiet truck stop in Gilroy. I remember the first time getting a shower there and pulling off the handle. That is excellent. So go to Gilroy if you want to see Jeff Garcia and maybe some real dirty gas station showers.
I didn't know where there were garlic capitals of anything, so that's good to know.
Yeah. Oh boy. I mean, I wonder if there's a garlic king of Gilroy, like the sausage king of Chicago from Ferris king Bueller. Yeah. Oh man, that is good. I mean, NorCal, I mean, it's people, I think Southern California gets all the credit, but man, I love Northern California. I had such a good time in Stockton. San Francisco is beautiful. I would love to go back, and super cool to see Dustin Wolf getting that big win in his home sort of area tonight. We're not going to waste any time here. We're going to go straight to the DoorDash, hungry for more. Mike Gould's here with Kent Wilson on Afterburner. And Kent, we're going to start with you because I haven't thought of it yet. But what are you hungry for more of here in the last five games of the 23-24 regular season?
I'm hoping to see more of Coronado, actually. The one play that he made tonight leading to the Rasmus Anderson goal, because he's been very, very absent, quiet, overwhelmed most of the time, his last little bit in the NHL. And he's 20 years old, and there's still a lot of development that needs to happen there. But you saw that flash where he, you know, kept the puck. He made a great cross-ice pass. It could have been an easy dump in or throwaway shot at the net, which is usually what happens with young players who are overwhelmed in those situations. But, you know, a great, you know, delay, great vision to find Anderson. And it'd be nice to see a couple more of those plays before the end of the year.
Yeah, he very much does look a little overwhelmed, and it's been something that I've been noticing, you know, even in the American League to a bit of a degree. I mean, I have liked him a lot more down there, obviously, but I think he still relies a bit too much on other teams making mistakes for his offense. I don't find he drives play quite as much as maybe he could, but this is a guy who was a great scorer in the NCAA with Harvard. This is a guy who has a terrific shot. He had a couple opportunities to let it go tonight. And yeah, that play that he made on the Anderson goal, I mean, we were talking about Nikita Ahochik getting the secondary assist on that play. It was really just Coronado and Anderson hooking up for this play. I mean, he dances up top. This is something that I haven't seen enough from Coronado, is the fluidity. I think it's finally sort of pinpointed what I want to see more of from him, and it's fluidity. I think he's just choppy. And when he has the puck, when he doesn't have the puck, when he skates, he's a little bit hunched over. He reminds me a lot of Mason Raymond. And he just doesn't quite have that same finesse level to his game that you see in Yegor Sharangovich, for example, who is very fluid, I would say, when he skates and when he shoots. He has such a fluid release. So that's something with Coronado. I think if he starts working a little bit more on his skating this summer, which I'm sure he will. He'll round into form. For me, what I'm hungry for more of has nothing to do with this iteration of the Calgary Flames, has all to do with next year's iteration of the Calgary Flames or their farm team. Want to see more from Hunter Brustevich as he goes into the second round of the OHL playoffs. He was a little bit quiet in the first round for Kitchener with 4 assists in 6 games. Would love to see him take over in this next round. And the same goes for some of the prospects who are coming to the Wranglers coming up here. They just got 3 guys, as our own Ryan Pike reported today. It was a Pike bomb. It is Etienne Morin, Jaden Lipinski, and Sam Honzik all going to the Wranglers on amateur tryouts. And this is something where two of those players don't have entry-level deals yet, Lipinski and Morin. I would imagine both of them will. In terms of what Honzik needs, I mean, we have talked a lot about Sam Honzik having a difficult D+1 season, battling through injuries and not being on Vancouver's first line in the WHL when he has been healthy. I would love to see him, because Calgary has been really depleted this season in the American League. I'd love to see him get some looks in practices and eventually in games, because this is a guy who can become a full-time AHLer next season, and my expectation is he will be.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Honzik, given the step back that he took this year.
Yep.
And the last thing you want him to do is go to the AHL and struggle badly there as well. So it'll really depend on, you know, how well he adapts to that game. Maybe he is a better pro. That happens in very rare cases, but sometimes kids need just move up and discover that the pro game suits them better. But if not, then I hope he doesn't get his confidence harmed even more than it has been. And maybe he goes back to WHL and takes a bigger step forward.
The guy who gives me a bit of hope in that regard is William Stromgren, who I was very critical of in his first 2 post-draft seasons in Sweden. I thought he was plateauing. Didn't like him. He didn't play very much at the World Juniors. Didn't love his game to start this season, but he has come around in a big way. And this is what I put up earlier today, the Calgary Flames positional depth chart, because it is quite striking when you compare the Flames to other teams, just how few players they actually have outside of their own pro ranks. And this has changed a little bit because they have Honzik and Lipinski both with the Wranglers right now. But if you're including Ilya Nikolaev, who is on an NHL deal and has played with the Wranglers this season, they have only 3 forwards in their entire organization currently outside of their pro ranks. That is startling. And it's just a testament to how few picks they have made. And they have a guy like Topi Roni who has his rights renounced. They just have nothing. And that's not to say that the players that they do have aren't going to be good players. And I mean, I pointed at William Stromgren as a player who has really, really come along in the second half of this American Hockey League season to the point where I actually see him as a legit NHL prospect, which I did not think I would say in October. He has taken substantial strides in the last 6-8 weeks of the year. So maybe they can get something like that out of Sam Honzik. But the reality is 9 picks this year for the Flames might not be enough, because what they don't have overwhelms what they do have, in my opinion.
Yeah, their last 3 drafts have been fairly thin, especially the Roni draft that you just brought up. 3 picks and none of them are going to be probably anything at all. The Coronado draft, I think they're just going to get him out of that, if I recall properly. So, and then Honzik taking a big step back. He was sort of their big pick last year. So it's almost everyone they picked last year kind of plateaued or took a step back, with maybe Sunyev being the one sort of guy who did pretty well. He didn't, you know, he wasn't a star, but he did take that sort of next step in college. So that was good. But yeah, there's no sudden.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Like, oh, this guy's on a star path this year. Just that doesn't really exist in the organization right now.
No. And even a guy like ATM Moran, who I kind of glossed over earlier, he had an okay year, I would say, in the QMJHL. And it's so tough to assess defensemen in that league because it's not a very good league for defensemen to play in. You look at a guy like Jeremy Poirier, who wasn't that much over a point a game in the Q after they drafted him. He comes to the Wranglers and he puts up a ton of points. And he's been, I would say, their best or second best defenseman over the last two seasons. So with Moran, he's a guy who can't play in the AHL next year. He's a 2005 birthday, but they have him right now. They have the opportunity to give him those reps. But in any event, that sort of is a roundabout way of saying those four prospects, I want to see, I'm hungry to see stuff from them down the stretch here, because we're going to see the three with the Wranglers getting those reps in Lipinski, Moran, and Honzik, and then Brustevich. He's going to have a chance in the playoffs here to really go nuclear like he did at the start of the year, because he has been merely good, I would say, since coming over into the Flames system. He's been at a point per game, which is very good for a defenseman playing in his D+1 season. But if you put it relative to what he was doing back when he was a Canucks prospect, isn't quite as overwhelming. So in any case, that is our DoorDash Hungry for More. And with restaurants, grocery, pharmacies, bakeries, flower shops, and more, DoorDash really has everything you need. With Double Dash on DoorDash, you can order from multiple restaurants or stores in the same delivery without additional delivery fees, so everyone can get what they want and need. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. You can dash that for the win. So that is our DoorDash Hungry for More. We'll get to our questions in a moment. We'll get to our last segment, The Road Ahead, in just a moment. For now, though, I kind of want to do something a little bit unusual on this Flames show and look around the league a little bit, because it was a very busy night in the NHL. It was a night where I think there were like 12 or 13 games that happened, and we saw some real blowouts. We saw Montreal beating the Philadelphia Flyers 9-3, a game in which Jamie Drysdale finished a -6 for the Philadelphia Flyers, despite only being on the ice for 14 shots against. That is pretty impressive. That's impressive. I don't know how you do that. But I want to get your take on a debate that is kind of raging in hockey circles beyond the Flames. They don't have anybody in this conversation, but their provincial rivals do, and a couple other teams do. And I want to show a goal that really lit up the hockey world tonight, because it was something. Nathan MacKinnon absolutely obliterating the Minnesota Wild. Take a look at this.
Watch
out. MacKinnon's got wheels. MacKinnon's going to go right around Middleton. Here he comes again.
Hello. Oh, my goodness.
That hat trick goal too.
That is a hat trick goal for Nathan MacKinnon tonight. He got his first 50 goal season in the NHL. He's going so fast on this play. I mean, I think the ESPN overlay is going to show it here. He gets up, I think, to like 30 miles an hour or something. Like, look at how fast he's going. I think he tops out at maybe 25 there.
25
is how fast he topped. I mean, that's crazy. But you look at what MacKinnon's doing. He has 50 goals this year. He's got actually up to 51. Connor McDavid has 99 assists, but he's hurt. Who knows when he'll be back? Nikita Kucherov has 96 assists, which is just as nutty to me. And then you have Austin Matthews, who tonight gets his 66th goal of the season. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the Flames. Those are the four players who I think are very much dominating the Hart Trophy conversation. I'm just curious from your perspective, because I have my own take on this. Who, if you were a voter with the PWHA or PHWA, whichever way it is, who would be the top of your Hart Trophy ballot?
It's a tough debate because, as you said, there's all these really, really elite players putting up ridiculous seasons in their own rights, right? I don't think there's a wrong answer. I'm going to go with MacKinnon just because I looked at all their numbers and they're all pretty outstanding. even relative, the way they're driving play on the ice for all their teams. But he's the guy this year who I watch and go, how do you stop this player? Like, yeah. For a while that was Connor McDavid and then everyone else. But McKinnon, like when the Flames played Colorado, I think it was last month, and then highlights almost every game, McKinnon just looks like someone on another level every night. Like, if the Flames were in the playoff picture and they had to face Colorado, it'd just be terrifying. Because I'd say, I don't know how to game plan stopping this player right now. He's thermonuclear.
Yeah, imagine if the Flames had snuck into the playoffs this year and they're looking at facing Colorado as a wild card team. This is a team that got utterly embarrassed when they had Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan still at his best, Elias Lindholm coming off an 82-point season or 78-point season, and they just got completely creamed back in 2019. A team with Andrei Kuzmenko is arguably its most talented forward, I think, would be a little bit embarrassed in a series like that. But yeah, Nathan McKinnon is putting together a ridiculous season, but he would be number two on my ballot. And the reason for that is the number one guy on my ballot would be Auston Matthews, because I am in awe at what he is doing this year. He's going to score 70 goals. I am very confident that Auston Matthews is going to score 70 goals. And quite frankly, there was a tweet that I saw today that was saying, if Auston Matthews was on any other team except for the Leafs, he might win the Hart Trophy this year. But it's the sort of anti-Leafs bias, I think, in some respects, where you have this team that is regarded as a perennial underperformer, and that is very much warranted. But I think they might get a little bit too much derision at times. And I think Auston Matthews is kind of getting overlooked partially because of that, because his underlings this season have been unbelievable. I mean, he is just completely dictating play to his will when he's been on the ice. And the other thing that I really like about him is, of his 66 goals, two have been empty netters. I mean, this is a guy who is, I mean, I know when Zach Hyman
scored, goalies.
Exactly. I know when Zach Hyman scored his 50th goal, there were those Twitters that were the Twitter posts coming up about how unethical it was, quote unquote unethical, you know, because all of his goals were tap-ins. With Auston Matthews, almost none of his goals have been tap-ins. They've all been against goaltenders, and there's no such thing as a secondary goal like there is with a secondary assist. I mean, 66 goals in a season, that's something that Alex Ovechkin was never able to do back in a period of time where scoring wasn't much different where it is today. I mean, it's higher, but not by that much. This is a crazy season. So that's my own take. Personally, I would go Matthews, McKinnon, McDavid, Kucherov, which is kind of counterintuitive because Kucherov has the most points out of all four of those guys.
But and he's just got 50 more points than second on his team. So,
which is crazy.
There's honestly not a bad pick.
Yeah, Kucherov. Kucherov is having a very Florida Panthers Pavel Bure type season. I mean, he's got better teammates. Like, it's not like the second best player on his team is Rob Niedermeyer, but he is having a really, really good season. I mean, you look at Steven Stamkos, who's a pending UFA. He scores a hat trick tonight, and I am so curious to see what happens there. How does a guy like Steven Stamkos in his career get overshadowed? I would say it's arguably been the case where this is a guy who scored 60 goals. You look at his legacy, the Tampa Bay Lightning legacy. I think the first three guys who come to everybody's minds are Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, and Andrei Vasilevsky. And somehow Steven Stamkos, to me at least, isn't one of the first guys who I would think of. Even though, you look at this guy, he's up over, I think, 1,100 points in his career. He has 39 goals this season. And there's a chance Tampa Bay doesn't even re-sign him. I would be very curious to see if Steve Yzerman would try to coax him over to Detroit. But that's another conversation entirely. Holy moly. Anyway, what a big night it was in the hockey world. Lots of stuff going on. And I think that's a really good point about McKinnon. I mean, he is that Colorado team. I mean, it's going to be something to see because the Western Conference is deep. The Eastern Conference very much isn't. And there are going to be good teams going out in the first round. But Colorado, again, not a team that I would want to face.
Not at all.
All right. We will head over to our final segment of this show, which is our Road Ahead, brought to you by Village Honda. And the Flames mercifully are in the home stretch of the season, a season that is being kind of difficult to watch, but hey, they're very much in the lottery race. I believe if the season ended today, they would have a 6% chance of getting the first overall pick. The road ahead, they have two more games on this California road trip. They're going to play the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks on Friday and Saturday before coming home to play the Coyotes on Sunday, the Kings and Ducks on Thursday and Friday. then the Coyotes on Sunday, the Vancouver Canucks on Tuesday, and then they're going to wrap up the season at home, just like they did last year against the San Jose Sharks. Five games left, Kent, and the Flames, I think, now are 4 points up, I want to say, or maybe 3 points up on the Ottawa Senators and the Montreal Canadiens for the sixth and seventh lottery spots in the league. It is going to be a funny little stretch to watch down these final five games because of all the conflicting feelings. They're playing against a couple of good teams in there, but a lot of teams that are sort of near or below them in the standings.
Yeah, I think the last time I looked, they had a 59% chance of picking eighth. So I think that's most likely where they're going to land. But there's going to be a lot of really good players, prospects available at that pick. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, people love talking about the draft. And I've been pushing, actually, for us to do a draft lottery show on Afterburner or Barnburner or whatever you call it, because I think that would be really fun. Go through the teams as they're revealed, who they might pick. So keep your eyes out up on the YouTube and Twitter sphere for maybe a draft lottery show. I think it's going to be in May. That's when the lottery is going to happen. We're going to try and do a Calgary Wranglers preview show here for their playoffs coming up as well pretty soon. But for the Flames, I mean, what can you really say? There are some milestones that this team is creeping up on. 70 points for, Nazem Kadri, 60 points for Yegor Sharangovich. But this season is pretty much 30 goals for Coleman. He's one away. I know a guy who has a bet on that, I think. You know, it's really, they're playing out the string. It reminds me of the death dirge that was the last 6 weeks of the 2018 season. At least this year, they actually have a first round pick. They actually have two of them, unlike was the case that year when they had traded away for Travis Hamonic. Remember that year? It can always be worse.
Yeah. Well, 10 of the last 15 years, they've missed the playoffs. So it's not totally foreign. Of course, sometimes they were battling for eighth and it was,
Yeah, it's a little bit depressing, but at least they have that pick. Can you imagine if they had given away their pick this year and they were in the Tiga Ginla range and people were just like, we can't even get him. We don't even have that option. We traded it for whoever in the summer trying to make the playoffs. They didn't do that. That's this season for the Flames, I think, has been an addition of missing bullets that are being shot directly at you where they missed out on that Elias Lindholm contract that I think would have sewered them and it would have left them without the first round pick and Bruce Stevich that they got. I mean, holy moly. So this year has been an exercise in Matrix X-esque bullet dodging for the Calgary Flames.
Right.
That is your Village Honda road ahead. Two games left on this California road swing and then three more games after that. We can only hope it ends mercifully and swiftly. So we have new in-stock inventory on ground at Village Honda. You'll want to know this because you can start your automotive adventures where new vehicle pricing is MSRP at Village Honda. And, you know, they have so many good options. The Honda Civic is the reliable one. It continues to lead the way in value and performance. It received a 10 out of 10 in Car and Driver's Comprehensive Vehicle Testing. And the Civic Type R and SI were ranked number 1 and 2, respectively, in the Sport Compact category. So you want to go to Village Honda and check all that out. You love those import cars, right? I mean, I love my import cars. Hondas are great. You can buy a Honda Civic and you can have the reliability, just like Mackenzie Wieger, that it's going to go out and give you that nice little drive and finish. Maybe not the most overpowered car on the market, but boy, it will get you the place you need to go. So that is the road ahead. And Jack, I think we're getting toward the end of the show here, but do we have any questions from the fine people out there? Because I think Kent and I would love to answer them. Here's Doogie saying, can Coronado be a first liner? Kent, why don't you tackle this one?
I think so, but it's going to take some real development in his overall game. So his defensive game is really bad right now, but most 20-year-olds are. As you say, he's not the most fluid skater. He doesn't have the best mechanics, so he's not small and fast. He's going to have to pick up his acceleration, I think. But it's going to be the little stuff for him, too. It's going to be winning more puck battles, getting to the puck quicker, knowing what to do when you're in a board battle. Like, those are major weaknesses for him and most players, young players, obviously. But he has above average, he has really good vision. He's got fantastic, like one of the best shots on the team already. So it'll be, can he build on those strengths and, you know, shore up those weaknesses enough that he can face other stars? Because when you're a top, when you're a first line in the league, you're facing the other team's best. So you can't just be a shock.
Yeah, Coronado's definitely been sheltered, I would say, this season. He hasn't gotten those big reps, and he hasn't particularly done well even further down the lineup. Now, you can say that's because he's playing with A.J. Greer and Kevin Rooney, but to a certain extent, you got to produce. And Andrew Mangiapane broke into this league playing on the Flames' fourth line. Now, albeit a very good fourth line that they had with Garnet Hathaway and Derek Ryan. But, I mean, the two guys that the Flames have in their fourth line aren't the worst guys I've ever seen on their fourth line. They can handle themselves to an extent. So Coronado has a lot to prove. One comment that I'm seeing in the chat, what is this? Ken Alicia, Mike's close to getting the Frank treatment. Your real close buddy. What does that even mean? Does he mean I'm going to go gray or something like Frank Saravalli? Frank Saravalli, I mean, he's my coworker at Daily Faceoff. Ken, post something else in the comments. I want to know what the heck you mean by that, because if I know my genetics, my dad went gray very, very early. My mom didn't. So I don't know, but I have a feeling he wasn't talking about my hair, probably talking about my Austin Matthews take, but I stand by it. Austin Matthews has had one heck of a season, and Frank's a smart guy. He'd probably agree with me on that. So anyway, Jack, can we get question number two, please, on this Tuesday night? Can you trade Markstrom for a top 10 pick in this year's draft to either Ottawa or New Jersey? I mean, I'd love to. Hey, totally. Give me the phone. I'll call Craig Conroy right now. Tell him to get on that. But I don't know if Steve Steos and Tom Fitzgerald would be as excited about that. Now, I do have some knowledge that my buddy was at the Prudential Center tonight for the Devils game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he said that the fans in the section next to him were starting to chant, "We want Markstrom." At the game, and now apparently the chant didn't really catch on that much, but they were at least trying to get that message heard. Ken, what do you think? I personally, I don't think they're going to get a top 10 pick for Jacob Markstrom. I don't even know if that was ever on the table, but is it even a possibility?
I don't think so. I think trading Markstrom to one of those organizations is possible, but not for a top 10 pick in this draft. You got to remember that Markstrom's, you know, mid-30s goaltender with two seasons left on his deal and, you know, a potential star, especially with the talent in like the top 12 of this draft is very thick. Like, I mean, there's some really good players there. So if you can pick a star who's going to be with your organization for 8 to 10 years, a goalie who might be your starter for the next two doesn't compare really at all, even if he gets into the Vezina conversation this year. So they might be able to trade him even to those two teams, but I don't think they'll be getting a top 10 pick for him.
Yeah, I think back to when Corey Schneider was on his way out in Vancouver, and they ended up getting, I think, the number 8 or 9 overall pick from New Jersey for him. And that pick turned into Bo Horvat. But the difference there is that at the time, Schneider was regarded as a goaltender who was on the cusp of becoming a number one. He was sort of the platoon. Exactly. The platoon guy with Luongo, who ended up being traded himself that same year. But with Schneider, he was 27 or 28 at the time. He was under team control. New Jersey was able to sign him. I don't think that's a similar case. I think I look at the guys who the Flames themselves acquired in trades before they got Jacob Markstrom and what they were giving up. When it was Brian Elliott, Brian Elliott was a guy who was coming off a year when he had a 930 save percentage. I think he was maybe even a little bit younger than Jacob Markstrom is now. And the Flames gave up a second round pick. I think it was number 35 or 36 overall. It was a pick that turned into Jordan Kyrou, who has been great for St. Louis. Not so good a trade for Calgary. And then I look at Mike Smith, who had some rough years in Arizona, but who was regarded as a guy who maybe needed to play against or play behind a better defense, but very much not the caliber of goaltender who Markstrom is regarded to be right now. The Flames gave up a third round pick and a fifth round pick for him. So, you know, looking at those as examples. Now, there was also the rumor that went around when the Flames were looking at acquiring Ben Bishop from the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I seem to remember the rumor there was that Tampa was steadfast on getting the Flames to give up their number six overall pick. And I think the Flames were poking around Marc-Andre Fleury around that same time as well from Pittsburgh. And I seem to remember the ask there being similar. And obviously they didn't go for either of those. And those are goaltenders who at the time, Bishop was seen as a guy who was going to be a starter for years and years and years to come. I don't think he was as old as Markstrom was now. And Dallas ended up getting him and giving him a huge, huge contract that he ended up being injured during. And Fleury obviously was older, and there were some concerns about that. But with the Flames, I mean, I'm looking and saying I'd be pretty happy if they could get a similar first-round pick as the one that they got from Vancouver. Maybe a roster player. I'm not entirely sure who. Maybe, you know, a mid-round pick and maybe a cap dump if they need to, and maybe an asset to facilitate that on top of that. But I would be really surprised if they got a top 10 pick, just my two cents.
Especially not in this draft. If I'm on the other end of the phone, I hang up immediately, honestly.
Yeah, I would say their best chance of getting a top 10 pick is to try and get a future pick and bank on that team sort of falling off. And that's sort of something that they might have in the works with the Vegas pick that they got from the Noah Hanifin trade. If Vegas ages out of their contention windows and is in a free fall mode in a couple of years, but I mean, that's hardly a given. So yeah, that's something to consider, but I would be really surprised if they got a top 10 pick for Jacob Markstrom. All right, Jack, is that it, or do we have any more questions?
We got one more. Can you guys do one more?
Yeah, we can do one more. All right, the Flames seem to lack grit. Oh, yeah, I love this. Flames seem to lack grit this year. Are there any players in the system with this no-nonsense attitude you see making them next season? Kent is a notorious proponent of grit. For years and years, Kent has been banging the drum on bringing in gritty players to the Calgary Flames, preferably with high draft picks. This is, of course, a major facade. I think Kent dreams of the Brandon Bolig trade on his worst nights. But, Kent, are there any players in the system with a little bit of piss and vinegar who you think could maybe make an impact for the Flames this season or down the line? There are a couple who come to mind for me, but not really that many.
Pospisil, is that
the
guy that got another boarding penalty?
yeah, I mean, that's sort of what you're looking at, right? I mean, it's Marty Pospisil continuing to develop into that role. You've got, but for the most part, it's guys like Lucas Siona, and I mean, I guess Parker
he's
Bell.
Never making the NHL.
Oh,
those are very go long on shots.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there are a couple defensemen I can see. Artem Grushnikov kind of has that element to his game. He is another guy who's a bit of a long shot just with how little he scores in the NHL or the American League level. But he's got really good poise with the puck and he can throw some really big hits. But in terms of guys, I mean, again, you want guys who can play, you want guys who can move the puck, skate with the puck. And an intangible asset like grit is a great thing to have if that is on top of those other things. And I think Jerome McGinley, Matthew Tkachuk, two of the grittiest players I can remember seeing in the Calgary Flames jersey, and two of the only players who I've ever seen score 40 goals for the Calgary Flames. So that's the kind of the mix that you want. Now, I look at this year's draft. There are a couple guys sort of further down the line who have a little bit of grit. Now, of course, there's TJ Ginla near the very top of the draft. He is a chip off the old block. He's not afraid of going into the corners, doing whatever he can to make those difficult plays. There is a guy who is playing, I forget what level he's playing at. There's a center in this year's draft who might be appealing to them with the Vancouver pick named Dean Letourneau, who is 6'7". And I think he's playing in Canadian high school hockey or something. Like, it's similar to like Mark Jankowski, if my memory serves me. Yeah, he's playing at St. Andrews College. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the end result is there. He's played a couple of games in the USHL this year, but look at Dean Letourneau's numbers this season. So he's 6'7". He is 209 pounds. He is generally ranked as a late first round pick. He's 29th on Elite Prospects Board. This year at St. Andrews College, which is a U18 AAA level, so it's not a very high level, but this guy has 61 goals and 127 points in 56 games. So, I mean, he's absolutely he's torching that level. He's committed to attend Boston College, I believe, in two seasons.
So not next year, but in two seasons, he's going to go to Boston College. Next year, he'll probably play in the USHL. But a 6'7" guy, he's got 74 penalty minutes this year. So there's a guy who, if they end up picking, you know, 26, 27 with the Vancouver pick, I can maybe see them taking a flyer on. But other than that, there's not a whole lot in the system.
And for me, I'm not too worried about grit until you have talent. I think elite talent is what this team really has to worry about over the next few years. And you can usually fill in grit over time. Like Garnet Hathaway was a guy they signed randomly out of college and he turned into an NHLer. They picked up AJ Greer off of waivers this year. And usually you can kind of raid the waiver wire most seasons and pick up the AJ Greers of the world if you need to, if you want to. But yeah, this team needs, you know, an Austin Matthews or a Nathan MacKinnon long, way, way more. And like three or four of those guys before they need to worry about someone who drops the gloves.
Yeah, and I would say they have the grit already. I mean, it's, you have Nikita Ochiak, who for all he sometimes struggles with the puck, he can throw hits. I mean, they have guys who can hit. They have guys who can stand up for each other. Blake Coleman will get involved in frays. I'm sure this summer they will go out and sign a reputational depth veteran who can throw his body around. I'm sure they will do that. It is something.
He's 6'7" or something, right?
Adam Clark.
He's not a great fighter, but
he's a terrible fighter. He's a terrible fighter. He does fight. Adam Klapka is the human embodiment of a golden retriever on and off the ice. He can get a little bit angry. He will bark at you sometimes, but he is a rotten fighter. And Adam, if you're seeing this, I don't mean to offend you, but I bet he gets chirped a little bit by his teammates sometimes. But he does what I do like about Adam Klapka is he is willing to get into those battles, and he's an excellent player. He's done a great job this year, and I'm curious to see what he can do. But again, you need those top of the lineup guys. And if they come with grit like a Matthew Tkachuk did, then fantastic. But in the end, I think the term that I think you used in an article was like sorting for these attributes. You don't want to sort for grit. And that is something where it is something that you want on top of other things. And I think the Flames will be positioned if they end up picking a guy like Sam Dickinson or Tiija Ginla at the top of this year's draft. They will get a guy who can hit. It's just a matter of getting a guy who has some skill. So I think that pretty much wraps it up for that question. And I think that wraps up our question period on the whole. And that'll take us to the end of Afterburner. We went a little bit longer than I expected, to be honest, after a 3-2 overtime loss that ended at, I don't know, a little past 11 p.m. But I think it was a good chat. And Kent, anything else you want to say or plug at the end?
No, I'm good. And I think my next column in the National Post will be about Dustin Wolf. So look for that in about a week.
Get those National Post readers learning about an itty-bitty goalie who has some real upside to his game. That's good stuff. Thanks, Kent. Appreciate it. And we thank all of you for tuning in on this Wednesday now, April 10th. And we've had such a fun time bringing you this edition of Afterburners. And we're going to be back when the Flames take on the two other California teams later this week. Until then, the final score tonight, once again, Calgary defeating the San Jose Sharks 3-2 in overtime off the winning goal by Andre Kuzmenko. For Kent Wilson, my name is Mike Gould, saying thank you so much for watching Afterburner.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.